Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Now sleep till!
Live from Viewhouse Littleton, presented by Coors Light, it's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and D-Mac.
Well, it's good to be back at the View House with you, Mike. It's been a while. Been a while since we've been back here, and then I was off, and this, that, the other thing. And it's great to be here. I love this location. It's packed. Every seat in the house is more or less filled. There's games going on. I'm sure there's room for you if you want to stop by. And we are registering to win a Big Green Egg Mini Max, valid at just under $600. Go to biggreenegg.com for more info on how you can fire up the flavor and to find a Big Green Egg dealer near you. Also, there's a flyaway to the San Francisco game, courtesy of our friends at Coors Light. So, lots to talk about. Broncos don't actually kick off till 2:25, so we get a little extra time here in our show today. So, Mike, how are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good. How was yours, D-Mac?
Very relaxing.
Both of our partners are sick.
Yeah, they're terrible in terms of their vocal qualities. As people, they're fine. You know, acceptable. And for me, coming off a college football weekend, the Cuse does what they always should do to Boston College, destroy them. And all this talk about Dino Babers coming to CU. Whoa, Nelly. I mean, how about playing a game against Cal last night, fellas? How about giving a little effort there? You know, what a miserable, when you think about it, year for college football in the state of Colorado.
Ugh, Lord. Brutal. Yeah, Dino Babers might be a hot commodity, but my guess is he could probably do bigger and better than CU.
Texas Tech blew out their coach today. USC says they're going to keep their guy. This is where things get really, really interesting. My ASU Sun Devils.
Oh, fork them.
With a 20, outscoring Arizona 20-0 in Tucson to win by one, and Arizona missing a field goal. Was fantastic. I loved it. Then the seven overtimes with A&M as they pull up, I guess, an upset over LSU. Another domination by Tua Tagovailoa, as Big Sexy schooled me on the exact way to actually say it. And what a year for Alabama, as they go down in history as one of the very few teams to not only win every game in their regular season, but do so by more than 20 points.
Is it the first time, I think, since the late 1800s?
Oh, gosh, no.
I could have sworn I saw something like that.
I think it happened a lot sooner than that.
Maybe only the second time since the 1800s.
It hasn't happened that often. It was an amazing run for Nick Saban and a guy, a quarterback, who undoubtedly one of the top picks, not in next year's draft, but in 2 years. And so that brings us up to a Broncos game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it was crazy weather the past couple days. The Broncos did practice inside due to the wind on Friday, which I don't have a problem with. Do you have any issues with that?
No, I think I do think that if you have a sense of what the conditions are going, let's say if it was going to snow today and you had snowy conditions on one of the practice days, yeah, I'd say get out there. I think there is something to the idea of practicing in the elements that you're going to play in, but it does not expect to be as windy today as it was the other day.
It's going to be 40 degrees and sunshine the entire game, yeah, until it gets, you know, a little dark later in the fourth quarter. So if you're going to the game, if you're tailgating right now, it's spectacular. I mean, really, for this time of year, I'm not sure you could get better weather.
Yeah, now if you're, you know, the Lions and you play indoors all the time and Matt Patricia tries to practice outdoors, I don't really get that.
But unless he's punishing his team for some reason.
Unless he's punishing his team, right. But I think in some cases you are trying to, there's that mix. You're trying to, I guess, create some toughness, practice in the conditions you're going to play in, but you get more work done when you're indoors with guys that are probably more engaged if the conditions are more tolerable.
A quick whip around the league right now. Buccaneers lead the 49ers 7-6. All tied with the Jets and the Patriots at 7 apiece. Are there finally some cracks in this Patriots dynasty here, Mike? Are we seeing some wiggle room here?
Oh, I definitely think that they would have a very hard time going on the road. For them, it's all about home field.
Yeah.
Do you realize that Tom Brady has 27 playoff wins? Only three have come on the road.
That's amazing.
Pure road games.
That's amazing.
Only three. So their big thing is they have to be able to play at home. So
and they are playing in New York today. So I see
Jets,
what you're saying.
And this is the Jets Super Bowl. So, you know, this is the game that they get up for the most. So I don't know. I can't bury the Patriots until I sort of see it. You know what I mean?
The Giants making playing awful well here of late. 12-3, they lead the Eagles. What has happened to the Eagles, Michael?
Is Lane Johnson having fun?
Yeah, I don't
remember.
Know.
Remember Lane Johnson?
Know.
Lane Johnson was the Eagle who came out after the Super Bowl and said, "I'd rather have fun winning one Super Bowl in Philadelphia than winning five in New England and being miserable." I just wonder how much fun he's having right now.
Having a blast, I guess.
Is he having fun?
As their season goes down the absolute tubes. Meanwhile, the Jaguars are losing to the Bills 14-7. Josh Allen is back, and Isaiah McKenzie is a star today. For the Bills. Isn't that a kick in the crotch?
Isaiah McKenzie caught one of those cheap touchdown passes that they now give quarterbacks when they're in the shotgun and the guy passes in front of them.
The jet sweep.
And they just kind of toss it to him and it goes down as a touchdown. But, yeah, Isaiah McKenzie gained a chance to play on a Bills team that is just looking for bodies. And so everybody's being given a chance. I think Isaiah McKenzie goes down as a classic case of he needed a change of scenery for scenery's sake.
Maybe.
You know, that as long as he was here in Denver, he was probably going to have a hard time shaking the fumbles and what everybody thought of him and the idea that, you know, all it takes is one fumble and, you know, he's right back in the doghouse again. And so he needed a change of scenery, and it seems to be prospering right now in Buffalo.
The Panthers and Seahawks are tied up at 3, and maybe something that we have to keep an eye on in terms of Broncos fans, the Browns are smoking the Bengals right now, 21-0, absolutely dominating them. The Broncos go to Cincinnati next week.
Yep.
Michael, I hate to look ahead, but we get to look ahead. We're sports talk radio hosts. If we can't look ahead, what's the point of our existence? After this game against the Steelers, it is not a difficult road for the Denver Broncos the rest of the way.
So the question is, does 9-7 put you in the mix?
It might. You know,
does 9-7 put you in the mix? Because if it does,
I wouldn't rule it out.
Because if you think it does, then absolutely that kind of record is within grasp for the Broncos. If what we saw last week wasn't just some mirage, if they did some things last week that they can build on and do more of, then 9-7 is in play.
Well, the way they would obviously get to 9-7, you're assuming a loss today,
right,
would be to be 8-7 and then win the final game.
Right.
I think if it's that, it's coming down to the last week of the season. Now, that did happen a couple years ago, and the Broncos knew they had been eliminated before the game started, and it was kind of like a, you know, and then, you know, Paxton, oh, no, I'm sorry. They were 8-7, and we found out that wasn't going to be good enough. And that's when Gary Kubiak said, oh, I'm going to split it up. It's going to be
right,
half Trevor, half Paxton. And then in one of the more bizarre, selfish, non-developmental moves of all time, he benched Paxton Lynch for the final game of the year in a game that meant nothing, in a game that they were up 24-0. In the second half and still didn't play Paxton Lynch.
Jerry wasn't leaving anything to chance. He knew that was going to be his last game. He wanted to go out with a win.
That is amazing. Mark Schlereth with us, really. I am amazed that Mark has the vim and vigor.
Off of his sickbed.
My goodness, I can't wait to hear this froggy-throated genius. Here is Mark Schlereth.
Here's Mark Schlereth with his biggest observation for today's game. It's exclamation mark. Powered by Piper Electric, your hometown electrician.
All right, keys to victory. I think there's a couple of things that you have to think about as the Broncos get ready to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. What happened last week, that anomaly against the Chargers. Steelers are not going to keep you in this game like the Chargers did last week. So offensively, you're going to have to be multiple, because you're going to have to keep this defense off balance. Multiple meaning switching personnel groupings, in and out of tempo, and then flip it to the other side of the ball. It's not good enough to pressure Ben Roethlisberger, because if you pressure Ben Roethlisberger, guess what? He's going to slide, he's going to move around, he's going to break a tackle, and then he's going to make a big throw down the football field. So it's not good enough to pressure him. You got to get him on the ground. And you do those two things, essentially, and you got a chance to win this game on Sunday when you get your clicks on the grass.
Exclamation mark is powered by Piper Electric, your hometown electrician.
All right, well, we thank Mark Schlereth for just being alive. When we come back, Cecil and Pritch, what to watch for. We'll hear from Troy Rank. Another turn, as the world turns, Michael, with the ownership situation, takes another spin. We'll get to all that coming up live from the View House in Littleton with the Fan Football Pregame Show on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Live from View House Littleton, presented by Coors Light. It's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and T-Mac.
Hey, you can win a flyaway to that San Francisco game, the Broncos in San Francisco, thanks to Coors Light. Thank you, Coors Light. We love the View House here in downtown Littleton. What a great spot to watch anything. Just the view of the TVs, the quality of the food, the service, it's top-notch. So if you're thinking about maybe do a little shopping and come down here later today to watch the Broncos, and we have a lot of fans of other teams, if you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns, you are pumped up. The Browns are humiliating the Bengals in Cincinnati right now, 28-0.
Nick Chubb has run for a touchdown. He just made an incredible catch on another touchdown. And, yeah, they've got it going. You know, they've got energy. And, you know, I said this before the season, that if you were offering me a chance to buy different teams, you know, for the future,
right,
sign me up for Cleveland. And,
yeah,
you know, they've got some pieces. They've been building some pieces here the last few years. And they've... And they're going to have a chance to go out and land a new coach. I don't think Greg Williams is going to, even though, you know, I don't think he'll end up being the guy. So they got a chance to perhaps get themselves a really attractive coach. So, yeah, I think the future looks pretty bright right now for Cleveland. And they'll be here in a few weeks.
Right. That might be the tougher game on the schedule. When you think of the more difficult games the Broncos have, perhaps that home game against Cleveland is one of them.
What was last week to you for them?
A miracle.
Was it a miracle?
Yes.
So then you're not too optimistic about today.
No. But I love the timing of this game. You know, playing having win streaks is hard. Like, to maintain a win streak and the grind that the Steelers have been on, tough game against the Jaguars, a Thursday night primetime against the Panthers, and before that, a tough game against the Ravens. You know, it's just like tough, tough, tough. And this is a perfect trap game. Streaks always end at some point. It's just hard to keep up that focus and momentum. Plus, it's over the Thanksgiving holiday, which is always a little bit of a distraction. And no, so I can't be overly optimistic because I view the Steelers as the fourth best team in the NFL. I think they're better than the Patriots, and I put them at number four. So I think I'd be foolish to just say flat out, oh, yeah, the Broncos are just going to roll here today. So I'm not, but I love when the Broncos are playing the Steelers. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, this was, you know, I Schlereth has been busting my chops because he's calling me Captain Intangible, but one of the reasons why I liked their chances last week against the Chargers was that you had a Charger team that hadn't played a home game in over a month.
Yeah.
And it's not like they have much of a home field advantage. So I thought that there would be the potential for the Chargers to be a little bit flat, a little bit undisciplined. Well, they were undisciplined. They committed, what, 14 penalties or so and didn't put away a Bronco team when they had a chance to. So I look at the intangibles this week is exactly what you're saying, is the idea that was a tough, grinding, grueling, physically, emotionally draining game for them last week in Jacksonville. And now they got to come back on a holiday week to travel out here. So, yeah, I think from that standpoint, but I guess where we differ then is what they accomplished last week was that more about what the Chargers didn't do than what the Broncos did.
Well, I mean, the Broncos hung around in the game, Mike, but, I mean, look at the final two offensive plays that mattered for the Chargers. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. You miss a handoff.
Yeah.
You don't know how to hand the ball off. You get mixed up on that. And then Phillip Rivers, after the two-minute warning and a timeout, throws the ball into the dirt. I was stunned at what I was watching. And then, hey, to the Broncos' credit, Case Keenum specifically threw, I would call it, three great passes, although the Tim Patrick play got called back as a ridiculous penalty. But the pass to Sanders was amazing between four defenders. And then a great pass to Cortland Sutton, same sort of in route, deep in. Mm-hmm. Deep ins are hard. My man Alfred's killing me with, like, oh, deep ins aren't that hard. Deep ins are the, like, as far as I'm concerned, one of the more dangerous passes. A deep out, technically, maybe you need more arm strength. But the chances of a deep out, you know, I get it. Maybe somebody could jump the route and take it back. But a deep in, Mike, man, that thing could get tipped or knocked down, or if it goes off the receiver's hands, there's like two guys around. I mean, that is a tough pass to complete, in my opinion.
Well, what we saw, though, from Case Keenum was a quarterback that really, for the first time this year, was throwing the ball decisively. You know, every time we've watched him throw the football this year, there's been a lot of just, you know, he looks, he stops, he brings the ball back in. There's a lot of indecisiveness. On that drive, it was just plant the back foot, let it rip.
Yeah.
And you know what? When he lets it rip like that, he looks like an NFL caliber quarterback.
Right.
Should be able to throw the football. So what I'm hoping is that this offense, this coaching staff, that Case Keenum himself, you know, learned something about the idea of, you know, the importance of playing with confidence, but also the idea that maybe offensively, you know, do some things to put this guy into more of a rhythm.
By the way, I knew just looking at film on the Chargers, there were weak spots all over the place. And don't forget, it's still Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. They have the San Diego Chargers, in terms of their opponent's winning percentage, they have the second worst or second easiest schedule so far in the NFL. The Steelers, 26th easiest schedule in the NFL. The Broncos, number one. The Broncos this year, by winning percentage of their opponents, have had the hardest schedule in the NFL. Okay? So that's room for optimism. They have not been getting blown out this year, save for that Jets game where that was a complete disaster. My man Alfred keeps saying, oh, they should have won the Jets game. They should have won the Jets game. I'm like, no. That's like the one game they shouldn't have won. That was the one game they were unprepared. Yeah. They weren't ready to play. That was the one game they weren't in. You want to talk about games they should have won, let's talk about the first Kansas City game.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about missing a field goal against the Texans. You know, I mean, they only lost by 3 to the Rams. You know, the Jets game, I mean, give me a break. No, that was a loss. It was on the road, East Coast. It just never added up as a good game for them. The Broncos, Michael, have been in so many games that I don't know why today would be any different.
Yeah, I mean, look at who they've played well. They've played the Chiefs well twice in a row, two times. They've played the Rams tough. They've held those three high-powered offenses well below their season averages. They beat the Chargers, the Chargers team that we were going into the last game talking about how they may be a team that nobody wants to play in the AFC playoffs. So they have played up to their competition. Here come the Steelers, a Steelers team that is very, very good on the road. What is it, 12-1-1
in
their last 14 road games? So,
but something like 5-12-1 in their last 18 in Denver.
Right.
Something like that.
So you add it all up, and, you know, I think that this will be, once again, a game that the Broncos are in the fourth quarter with a chance to win. Yeah,
I agree. Now, it could go either way. And unlike the Chargers, the Steelers aren't a bunch of choke artists. In fact, the exact opposite. The Steelers find ways to win. The Chargers don't. They're the Chargers.
Right.
I'll be surprised if the Chargers even make the playoffs at this point. That being said, in terms of what to watch for, our guys, Mike Pritchard and Cecil Lammy, have this.
It's Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Thanks, guys. Well, for me, it comes down to the play of the offensive line. And if you would have told me last week, Pritch, that you're going to have zero sacks on Case Keenum and none of those mind-numbing penalties up front on that offensive line, I would have thought you were crazy. So they did it once. Can they do it again against what I think is a better defensive front in the Steelers? Pritch, is that the primary thing to watch for on Sunday?
It's one of them. This offensive line was very powerful against the Chargers last week. I expect that to happen again. Now, the Steelers are a physical front. They also disguise some things. They're a zone-blitzing team, a lot of games, a lot of movement in the secondary, from the secondary. So that's going to be a challenge. But I'm going to go on this side of the ball, Cecil. I think the tight end combination of Vance McDonald and Jesse James can hurt the Broncos. We know the Broncos' history with tight ends, and so do the Pittsburgh Steelers. So watch out for that, for the Broncos' defense, the two tight ends from the Steelers, but then certainly the consistency of the Broncos' offensive line in this game.
Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For is presented by Golden Oak Lending. Whether you're buying or refinancing, Golden Oak Lending can help. Call today, 720-500-GOLD.
What's the Broncos' health status? We'll check in with Troy Rank live from Broncos Stadium at Mile High. And what in the world is going on with this ownership situation? Troy has the latest news next. All right, Troy Rank will be presented by the Tranny Law Offices. Before we get a report on the game, the ownership as the world turns situation for the Broncos took another spin on Friday when the Dan Riley, the attorney for the trust, responded to the complaint of Bill Bolin, and more or less what he said was Bill's not really doing this. This is all about Beth Bolin and Amy Klemmer, which is Beth's sister, and that they want the NFL to arbitrate it, and let's hold off on the Bill Bolin thing until the NFL actually arbitrates on the matter itself. And as he was doing it, he threw out language about how unqualified Beth Bolin happens to be, specifically including judging negatively her integrity and character. Beth responded through a press statement about just, hey, this is Bill's lawsuit, not ours, and we want the wishes of our father to be executed. Troy Rank joins us. Troy, in terms of the ongoing dispute in terms of ownership, what have you learned? What do you know? What should we know about it today?
Well, I mean, the reality is this. You expected the trust at some point to counter back after Beth Bolin Wallace had made her claim for the team last May. Then Brittany Bolin steps forward in their favorite front runner, that eventually there was going to be a trust moving forward. So essentially, as you mentioned, the trust would like the NFL to arbitrate this, so they're asking this Arapahoe County judge to put a stay on Bill Bolin's lawsuit. I don't know if he will. I really don't. I mean, it's hard to predict that, but clearly that would favor the Broncos if it goes to NFL arbitration, because they've been found in compliance with the secession plan, DMACC, from jump. So, of course, they would want it to go to an NFL arbitration. They would think they would have a favorable ruling there based on their all feedback they've received from the commissioner's office since this plan was kind of being carried out. In the case of Beth Bolin, challenge it. They're impugning her character. It just seems like it's going to get uglier before it gets better, DMACC. But arbitration would be the quickest path for the Broncos. I just don't know if the NFL, they're going to have to really have their T's crossed and their I's dotted, because they could be setting themselves up for a lengthy legal fight.
All right, so there's likely three scenarios here, and this is all that really Bronco fans care about, is how it's going to end up. It's the idea that, hey, it goes exactly the way the trust wants it to. Brittany Bolin eventually takes over as the owner maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now. Or there's a chaotic knockdown, drag-out battle among the children, and who knows what happens. Or ultimately the NFL says, hey, look, this is just too chaotic. Why don't you guys just sell the football team and we end up having a different owner? What if you had to project which one of those ends up happening, what would it be?
I would say the slight favor would be the Brittany Bolin eventually becomes the owner and operator of the Denver Broncos. The second scenario would be they sell, and the third scenario would be Beth Bolin Wallace. She would be the long shot at this point based on where we are right now. Could that change? Of course. But I would still say the slight favor would be Brittany becoming the owner. The issue would then become the timetable.
All right. We'll see what goes on, because now the Bill Bolin's representatives have 21 days to respond, and then the trust has 15 days. Now, I don't anticipate Bill Mullen's side to waste any time here. I think they'll respond to this relatively quickly, and then I think the Trust will take all the time that they want. In fact, they already asked for a one-week extension on this deadline that they just had. So as the world turns in terms of the ownership for the Denver Broncos, the only reason I would say this is a big story, and I'll go to you, Troy, is if the Broncos wanted to move on from Vance Joseph, how does this impact quality coaching candidates from wanting to be here because they might think the ownership situation is in limbo?
Yeah, I mean, there would definitely be uncertainty there, but I mean, the way it would set up, if you interview an eventual head coaches, you're dealing with an agent who would basically vet this process and say, well, as far as they can tell, Joe Ellis is running it day to day, and John Elway's in charge of pretty much everything other than the budget that he kind of gets approved by Joe Ellis. So I don't know that would really affect them, DMAC. The issue would be the coach that wants to work with John. I mean, that's the issue, is kind of, can he find the right guy? And it might still be Vance Joseph. I know fans get angry at that, but they finish 8-8 and they're, trending upward. Maybe it's Vance Joseph. So, but the issue for me, DMAC, would be not so much ownership as whether the coach would be comfortable working with the way this setup is with Elway as GM, especially if Kubiak leaves.
All right, Troy, let's try to put what happened last week against the Chargers into perspective and what it means for later on today. I mean, what you saw from the Broncos last week, was that a real, perhaps, season-changing type win that they will absolutely build upon? Or was this just more a case of they were the grateful beneficiaries of what the Chargers gave away?
Well, they put the Chargers in position to make stupid mistakes. So it wasn't just like Phillip Rivers handed them the game. I mean, there was pressure in some of those cases, and they forced them into mistakes. So I will say this, Mike. What I saw from that defense can get you back into the playoff conversation. What I saw of the offense will not. They were terrible for three quarters. I mean, essentially that was a Tim Tebow-esque kind of game for Case Keenum. They had hit 59 yards passing through three quarters, 9 first downs. So I believe defensively they found that, hey, you can give up yards. If you win the takeaway battle, you can win games. In today's NFL, you're going to give up more yards than you like. It's uncomfortable at times. But if you can win the takeaway battle, and one of those takeaways is, changing like Von Miller's, you can win. I think they have a real good chance to pull off an upset today. And if they do, the schedule then sets up where they don't play another team with a winning record until the Chargers, the last game of the season.
All right, Troy, what's the injury situation for the Broncos today, especially with Bradley Roby?
I talked to Roby on Friday. He's good to go. He's probably he's coming off a good high, too, because of Ohio State's big win over Michigan yesterday. He was loving that, I know, for a fact. So they need him to play well, DMAC, in all seriousness. He played his best game of the season last week because Chris Harris didn't play his best game. He let the frustration by his own admission kind of get to him. Bradley Roby played well against the Chargers. If he plays like that today against Juju, they have a chance, because I think Chris Harris is going to play really well against Antonio Brown. Doesn't mean he's going to shut him down. No one does. But then you have a chance. I'm more worried about how they're going to cover a tight end, because Stuart Cravens and Josie Jewell had no chance against Antonio Gates last week. So is it going to be Will Parks? They got to figure out a way, because I think Vance McDonald is going to be a secret weapon for the Steelers today.
Yeah, and Jesse James is a very dangerous weapon for them as well. I mean, they got weapons all over the place. Don't sleep on Switzer, their slot receiver. Never mind Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown, James Connors. I mean, they are, never mind a quarterback that doesn't mind getting hit and is tough as nails and never gives up. This is a battle today, for sure. But I like it. I like it. I can't favor the Broncos here. I don't think that would be quite right. Troy, what do you got the game today?
Yeah, I know this is going to sound crazy, because I've been dim on their prospects, but they showed me something defensively against the Chargers. That was a much tougher game to win against the Chargers than beating the Steelers at home. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the reality. And the Broncos, DMAC, haven't won at home since September 16th.
Oof.
I mean, it's kind of like the Chargers. They're due. Like, they're due. They should have beaten the Texans. Like, we all know that. Like, they're just due for a game where it's a little ugly, a little clunky, and a couple breaks. But they have to win the takeaway battle. I think they're going to win an ugly, close game, like 27-26.
All right. Thank you, Troy Rank, presented by Trinity Law, Denver 7 Broncos Insider. The intangibles, Mike.
Hey,
because football reasons, we can't really do it. But for the intangibles, Mike.
Does that tell us something? That we're trying to base so much of why we think the Broncos can win on intangibles? I mean, don't you have to have some, you know, really good football reasons why?
Well, I think they're going to sack Ben Roethlisberger maybe four or five times today.
They'll definitely get to him.
Because he'll just hold on to it.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind taking that sack. He'll take those hits if he has to. He's not going to panic. Although, you know, I shouldn't say, you know, Roethlisberger does make some dopey mistakes sometimes, just like out of absolutely nowhere. And if you go back and watch that Jacksonville game last week, they were terrible, Mike. They were terrible.
16-0 midway into the third quarter, right?
It was awful. They couldn't get anything going. Nothing was open. And then it just kind of all happened for him. Yep. And at the end of the day, Big Ben is Big Ben. Yeah, he's loaded up on his carbohydrates. You know, he had an extra, you know, helping of stuffing in potatoes there, Michael. And he just jumped across the line. Jumped, fell, you know, whatever. I mean, he got it done.
Yeah.
He's an impressive dude in terms of his football abilities and his mental toughness and all that stuff. And I think Phillip Rivers is weak on that.
But it's going to come down to whenever we have talked about these matchups against these high-powered offenses that we don't trust the offense's ability to stay with them. So the defense is going to have to play out of their heads. And to the defense's credit, they played very well against the Chiefs twice,
yep,
against the Rams, and
yep,
they did against the Chargers last week. So, you know, once again, I think we're looking at kind of the same formula. We trust that the defense will show today,
yep,
and will put this team in a position to win. Will they be able to get enough offense? You know, that's when I start having to lean more on intangibles than anything, because
there's really
nothing to point to other than the idea that do they come out, I guess this would be the football part of it. Do they come out with a look offensively, a game plan offensively, that allows them to add some more hurry-up elements to their offense?
I've heard that. Well, I think it's simple. You just have a game plan. When we get a first down, boom, we're going to go, yep, right away. Billy Musgrave was asked about it. It's obvious you need to put Case Keenum in more of those situations without going all out,
yep,
2-minute drill, right? Because you just exhaust everybody and they'll be no good. So I think you'll see, I'll be surprised if you don't see elements of it today.
Yeah, Klatt was on with us the other day, and that's exactly what he talked about. He said, look, you can't come out and just go hurry up right from the beginning.
Right.
It just won't work. Eventually you'll get figured out, you'll get worn out, whatever. But he says you can pick your spots. And one thing he said is, hey, once you get that first down, okay, the moment you got that first down, now you've established a little bit of rhythm, you've ensured the fact that your defense is going to not be put right back out there in a stressful situation. So once you get that first down and you're, you know, first and 10 at your 37 or something, that's when you come right out and go up-tempo.
And what you have to realize in this life is when it matters the most, Jim Harbaugh is the wrong guy. Nice, ooh, job, Michigan.
Wow.
Wow.
Have to suck on that one for 365 days.
Wow.
Man.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Sandy's stats of the game. We'll have the who's playing and who's not as the Broncos. Kickoff's a little bit later, 2:25 today. So you got us for some time, and we are thrilled to be down here at the View House in Littleton. Come on by. Watch a bunch of the games. We're going to halftime, or we're through halftime for most of these games. We'll catch up with everything going on in the NFL next.
Live from View House Littleton, presented by Coors Light. It's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and T-Mac.
Back here at the View House, downtown Littleton, right there on Main Street as we are hanging out. Good crowd here watching the early games. And probably as good of a time as any, D-Mac, to go around the league and
sure,
bring up some of the scores. The Browns were just putting it on the Bengals. How does Marvin Lewis survive this? 28-7 is what's happening right now.
Well, it's
now
closer. It was 28-0.
It was 28-0. So
they're making a comeback.
28-7. Baker Mayfield has three touchdown passes in that game.
Impressive.
Josh Allen has a couple of touchdowns.
For the Bills.
The Bills are looking good. They 14-14
with Jacksonville.
Tied up with the Jaguars. And Isaiah McKenzie is all of a sudden a football player in the National Football League. And he's having a great day. We've got the Patriots tied up with the Jets. And they're, you know, about 5 minutes or so into the third quarter. I don't know with the Patriots. Every time you count them out, they do something to get right back in it.
Yeah, but I do think that
The end's got to be near.
They don't look to me like
not
a Super Bowl team.
No.
They're a team. They're going to win the AFC East because the AFC East is so bad, and they'll have a home game. They'll probably win that. But I just they've got problems defensively. I just don't see them defensively being able to hold up against the Chiefs. Or even the Steelers, if they have to go to Pittsburgh. They got a big game. They're actually at Pittsburgh here in a couple weeks.
Now, here's what's interesting. The Ravens lead the Raiders 13-10. Lamar Jackson, two rushes.
Yep.
So they said, okay, wait a second, that was ridiculous. And they've got him in a more traditional role today. He's 9 of 18 for 140 with two interceptions and no touchdowns. Go ahead. They're winning, but go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, if you need to say it.
You would have taken him at number five.
I would have taken him at number five. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about why I would take him. We don't have to go down that wormhole, but they're winning the game.
Hey, Josh Allen's got a couple of touchdown passes. Baker Mayfield's...
Hey, you don't have a Tim Tebow tattoo for nothing, do you there, pal?
Mayfield is looking...
Mayfield's legit.
He's the one that looks legit right now. That's the only one.
Yeah. That is so ridiculous.
Well,
you know, let's give everybody a little bit of time.
No.
I'm not Jared Goff. Does he look legit?
Well, no, I'm talking about
give him a year,
I'm
Mike.
Talking about the ones that were drafted this year.
I got you. Give him a year to develop. You realize it takes at least a year to develop, right? At least a year of playing to develop.
Sure.
Right?
Yes. I will not put them in the Hall of Fame nor bury them based on anything that happens in the
first
year.
And even quarterbacks that you know are great. Like, you know Carson Wentz is a great quarterback, correct? Wow! Really? Really?
Have you looked at the Eagles this year?
You wouldn't take Carson Wentz right now.
Oh, I would take Carson Wentz over what I have right now, but am I convinced that I'm getting a great quarterback?
Do you think they have any regrets in Philadelphia despite having a lousy year this year about Carson Wentz?
Not right now they don't. Not yet. But they're also not sitting there in Philadelphia absolutely convinced that they've got an all-time great.
Who's going to be your guy, Mike? Who's going to be your guy?
What do you mean, who's going to be my
guy? Who do you love? What quarterback is like your guy?
Out there right now?
Yeah, who's your guy?
In the NFL?
Who's your guy?
You mean the guys that have actually...
Who's your guy and how did he get there?
That have proven that they can win?
Who's your guy and how did he get there?
So, you know, talk to me about the guys that have proven they can win. Those are the guys that are my guys.
Who's your guy?
Those are my guys, the guys that have won.
Give me a name.
You know, my Russell Wilsons, my Cam Newtons, my... Ben Roethlisberger's, my Tom Brady's, my Aaron Rodgers. You know, the guys that have actually, to quote my good friend Mark Schlereth, actually put a squirt of piss in the bucket.
So how did they get to where they got? I mean, you know, at some point it has to happen somewhere along the line.
They proved that they could win playoff games. That's how quarterbacks are measured, by winning playoff games.
Do we have one of those guys now? I mean, at some point they've got to be in their second year of their career, right? At some point they have to be young. At some point, they have to learn.
Sure, but until they do it, because all I know is that every young quarterback that comes up through the ranks, if every guy made it, then yes, I'd say all these guys we're talking about will eventually get there. But for every one guy that you talk about that has made it, I can point to five guys that were supposed to make it and never did.
See, here's
so
where we
until
are.
They until they actually get there,
here's
then,
where
yeah,
you are.
I'm gonna be a little bit skeptical.
In Broncoland, we haven't developed a quarterback since John Elway. Let's keep it real.
Right.
That's it. That was the last quarterback we got at a young age here in Denver and developed over time, where he was allowed to be lousy and got better and was given the time to have a lengthy career. Other than that, it's been Jake Plummer, free agent. Gus Frerotte filling in as a basically a free agent, right? Peyton Manning, the ultimate free agent. Tim Tebow, you know, that whole Tim Tebow thing. Paxton Lynch, disaster. We have not developed a quarterback here since the 80s.
Right.
In Denver. Is that what I'm hearing from you, really? Like, it just can't be done?
No, it can be done, but the Broncos are proof that it's hard to do. It is hard to do it, and nothing's guaranteed.
It's hard to do if you don't commit to it.
But if you
evaluate and commit to it.
If you talk about you're saying you can't really evaluate these guys until they've been around for a while. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
You got to live with
These are all quarterbacks that were taken in the top five. Matthew Stafford, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Blake Bortles. These are all quarterbacks that went in the top five that I am quite secure in saying right now will never end up being great quarterbacks.
All right, well, I could, Cam Newton, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. I mean, we can go through the laundry list
of
you.
Goff hasn't won a playoff game yet in his career. Wentz hasn't won a playoff game in his
career. You're ragging on Jared Goff? You are a riot.
I gotta see him do it in the biggest games.
You are too funny.
Let's see him do it in the biggest games. Go Lamar Jackson.
Throw four interceptions today and win by a field goal over Oakland. That'd be fine by me. Just get it done. Lord almighty, where are you going to be for the draft? Well, see, and it's a weak quarterback class this year, right?
Yeah, but I still think they should draft a quarterback. They should have drafted a quarterback last year. You and I are in agreement on that, by the way, that they should have drafted a quarterback. We just differed on where they were supposed to take
that
quarterback.
I don't think they should draft a quarterback next year. Who you get?
Well, here's the thing.
You already got Kevin Hogan as your sort of deep draft pick sort of guy.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at...
What's the
they
point?
They came out, NFL.com put together their list of the top 20 just football players coming out for the draft next year, okay?
Yeah.
The top 20 ranked players. Only two of them of the top 20 are offensive guys. Only one is a quarterback. That's Herbert out of Oregon.
Yeah, that's weak.
Okay?
That's weak
sauce.
And
there's another who is an offensive lineman out of Alabama. Other than that, it's all defensive players.
I couldn't agree more.
So this is going to be a defensive
draft. Go get yourself greedy or DeAndre Baker
exactly.
or whoever.
Go get another defensive player. I don't want them to overdraft. Okay, and, you know, we talk about how they did last year. They did auto draft, fine, but I don't want them to overdraft. And I believe, this is my opinion, I think taking a quarterback at number five last year would have been overdrafting. I think taking Bradley Chubb was exactly where Chubb was supposed to go, and there's nothing we've seen from him that shows that he wasn't worth the pick. So, you know what? If they're going to be picking 7th, 8th, 10th, and the best guy out there is a defensive player, go grab another defensive player.
You just
got to keep driving. You got it. And I say all that with
years and years and years behind. Like, it'll take us years now to make the playoffs.
But see, your argument is just take a quarterback say that you took a quarterback.
Wrong, because then why am I not advocating for a quarterback this year?
Let's wait until we actually go through the Senior Bowls.
I promise you, I won't be.
People are saying about these quarterbacks. And
I
then
won't be.
We'll have this conversation.
I'll prove
again.
Your theory completely wrong by, you're right this year. We're in lockstep. It's not a quarterback. It's who? Drew Lock? Please.
John Elway was there watching him. Elway,
big
Kubiak,
deal.
And Russell were there.
I saw that game
in the rain in Missouri.
I've watched Herbert so much because I'm Mr. Pac-12, Michael. You know that now. And Herbert should stay in school, aside from the fact if he's a top five guy, there's just too much money out there. But are you going to go insane and draft Kyler Murray? I mean, I doubt it. It'd be exciting. But, boy, would that be a radical shift in philosophy. I don't see that happening, do you?
But if these guys like Locke or some of these other quarterbacks aren't first-round quarterbacks and they're available in the second round, yeah.
By the way, you know who's going to be taking the first snap next year? You know who it's going to be?
It's going to be Case Keenum.
It's going to be Case Keenum.
I know.
You know it.
Doesn't mean you don't draft a quarterback.
Tua in 2020. That's the best I can do on that.
We got to wait till 2020?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we are.
But, you know, you probably won't be bad enough to be able to get to her.
That's why you have to have capital. And how do you have that capital? How do you get capital? You either stink record-wise,
right,
or you trade Von Miller. And then that's it.
So now you're saying trade Von.
Oh, I would absolutely 1,000% trade Von Miller. There is no doubt about it. At the trade deadline, I saw where this season was going. I know that we need trade capital. I would have traded Von.
So you think...
And Von will never be more valuable to the team than he is this year and next year.
So you think the Raiders doing what they did in the long run will be smart?
No doubt about it.
Khalil Mack.
No doubt about it.
Because they weren't going to be able to win with him now. So better get the value for him while you can.
No doubt about it. Where were they going? What were the Raiders doing this year? What they did was the smart move.
And you think the Broncos are in that same kind of boat?
Yeah. Don't you?
Okay.
No? Oh, hold on. No? No, we're not?
I think Vaughn's still got a lot of football left in him.
There you go. Get those sack numbers. Those sacks will look great.
When
the Rivals finish 7-9 for three straight years, it'll be like, oh, but we got combined 25 sacks.
Here's to your point.
Fantastic.
As you have correctly pointed out, the Broncos have shown as an organization they don't know how to draft quarterbacks and develop quarterbacks. Here's what they have shown. They know how to build a championship defense that is based on the idea of you have two bookend pass rushers. So you've gone from DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller to where you're looking at a scenario where you got Vaughn and Bradley Chubb. I don't know. That's something I'd probably want to keep intact for as long as I can.
You got to win games, you got to score points. And until you can do that, you're in big trouble. But listen, if Case Keenum cannot turn the ball over, I see what you're saying. It is the ultimate khaki fan strategy. It's about just playing control, not making mistakes offensively, winning games close, and having your defense more or less bail you out.
Until you can show me a quarterback.
You know you have to have the lead in order to pull that off, though, right?
Yeah, but until you give me a quarterback that I know is a difference maker, give me another way to win.
I love my man, Mike.
Give me another way to win.
Besides what?
Besides what I'm telling you.
How about drafting Jared Goff in the top five and put up 56 points so that your opponent who puts up 52 points loses? How's that for a strategy?
And you think there was a Jared Goff?
I think there were several.
Okay.
Several.
And that's where we respectfully disagree. You think this is going to be a great quarterback class that we just had this year.
I
don't. So
Baker Mayfield's crushing it.
Yeah.
Jackson's got the lead there in Baltimore. Josh Allen is lighting it up here today. Rosen, I don't know. We'll see. I think there's a lot of great things about him, and Darnold's hurt. But Darnold put a whooping on the Broncos, that's for sure, and shows signs. I don't know. Trubisky, everybody likes Mitch Trubisky. He's hurt. I mean, you get hurt.
Yeah.
Guys get hurt. Carson Wentz, they're having a bad year, but nobody's turned. The trend is there, Mike. I mean, that is where the NFL's going.
Well, yes, somebody has to play quarterback. These teams have young.
That's right.
There are a lot of young quarterbacks in the league, but isn't it funny that the teams that continue to win Super Bowls have old quarterbacks?
Well, we'll see what happens this year. Who's winning the Super Bowl this year? Oh, my God, if it's the Patriots, I'm going to throw up.
Well, it might be the Saints.
We'll come back. There you go.
Another old quarterback.
There you go. We'll hear from Sandy coming up. Also, Zach and Stokely. We are live at the View House in Littleton on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.